U woord toe. Kom ons bid saam. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can gather as a body. Lord, we honor you and we really see you as our God and as our King. And we want to rest in you, Lord. We want to hear from you. We want to respond as your people and we want to march forward with you, Lord. I pray that we will have wisdom, that our hearts will be soft, so that we'll be able to see you. And not only see you, but also see what we need to do as your people. How we can respond, how we can live, how we can stay close to you, how we can raise our children, how we can do business, whatever it is, but we want to do it in your way. We want to live according to your plans. We want to live according to your instructions. And we want to stay close to you, Lord Jesus. And thank you that you've made a way for us to do that. I really appreciate it and we love you, Lord. Amen. Ek het gehoor vanoggend, ek moet maar oor rugby preek. Want die bokke het gewen. Somme mooi gewen. Dit was nou lekker. My ouers is daar in New Zealand, so hulle braak big time oor. Anyways, I just want to give a little bit of feedback, just very briefly. Christoph shared a couple of videos and photos from their time in Malawi, and it was too quick and technology. We couldn't view it, but I'll send it up on the WhatsApp group so everyone can see and hear. But a very special time the last couple of days in Malawi with Christoph and the team there, and it's actually so beautiful to see. I wasn't in the mix when it all started, but where that journey started with Malawi and Shofar Cyrus and the wider body of Shofar and where they are now, where pastors have been raised, this beautiful walk together, and now Christoph and the team there selecting elders. And that's what we see in the New Testament when Paul went to a different place. And we're seeing what we're seeing in Malawi. We're seeing it in the Bible, and it's incredible. And Christoph said, yeah, we can pray and think and what's the journey for the future, but maybe we should just really just praise God for what he's done. And if we have to look back of where it started and where it is today, it's really God in action. It's really beautiful. And so, yeah, the very special time in Malawi. I'll send a couple of photos and videos out that you can hear from them yourself. And then in your small groups, your cell groups, and your quiet time, in this week and the next week or so is pray for them that are going to Somalia. Pray for wisdom. Pray that they will be sensitive to the Spirit. It is an unstable country with a lot of uncertainty, but there's an excitement as well for going to where the Lord is leading so that they can encourage, so that they can pray for, so that they can lift up the hands of those that have been called there on ground level. A couple that's living there and serving the Lord in Somalia. So if you remember, pray for them as a group. Christoph is flying out tonight, sleeping in Ethiopia, and then meeting his wife, Marinda, and the rest of the team to go over to Somalia. And let's pray that they will have wisdom and, yeah, and to be careful, to be sensitive, to be excited, and everything in between. Yeah. Last week's sermon with Christoph, I think it kind of gripped many of us, because it's a reality. And I think one of the wisest thing that we can do as the body of Christ is identify what is the Lord saying through the body and respond. And it's not just one person coming up with a nice sermon or something that he's experiencing. If you have to go and chat and sit with an individual or go here in a cell group, or you kind of hear, sure, the Lord is really speaking to us as a body. And my responsibility is to say, I'm hearing this, and I'm responding. And if we're in any sort of position where we can encourage others, lead others in what the Lord is saying in the body, then let's do that. And so if you weren't here for the sermon last week, please go have a listen on YouTube, and because this is what the Lord is saying to us as a body. And I don't think only us as a body in Cyrus. I think it's the wider church throughout worldwide, and that's this fast, full life, very busy, rhythms are crazy, and where we're getting caught up in the midst of it. And I realized again that, if I along with wisdom, along with grace, along with God's guidance, if I am not managing my rhythm, the world will manage it for me. And that's just how it works. And if I'm not going to be disciplined enough in line with God's word and his instruction to manage this rhythm of mine, I can be 100% sure that the world will manage it for me. And the result is disastrous. It's catastrophic. The fruit of the world's rhythm is disastrous. But the fruit of God's rhythm is beautiful. Not always easy. Yes, challenges. But there's beautiful fruit where we can eat and others around us can eat from that. Ach, and he gave such an incredible illustration for me as a farmer, this where all the fruit trees, and they're held up by, or supported anyways, by these poles that is in the ground with the wires that's going through and the branches is connected to that. And the illustration of that, these poles and wires and this system to help the trees is kind of like self-discipline or the discipline, spiritual disciplines that is helping for this tree to flourish, helping this tree to bear the fruit that it should be bearing. And the reality is that the spiritual disciplines has been given to us or shown to us by the Lord so that we can practice it, so that we can apply it, so that there will be this fruit, not only enjoyed by us, but those around us. And and this week the Lord really challenged me and encouraged me in line with a story where you kind of see these two opposites very clearly, these two characters. One that was kind of caught up in the rhythm of this world, and one that wasn't. And we're going to look at these two characters in a story, and most of us know the story. I think all of us know the story of Saul and David. Chart knows the story. I think he said he's been reading it lately. But where you see these two characters, Saul and David, and we're going to touch briefly on that. It's in 1 Samuel. It starts anyways. In 1 Samuel 14, no, a little bit earlier, 1 Samuel 9. And I wish I could just stand here and just start reading the story to you and then say, amen, please go and apply it or ask the Lord to help you in that. But I'm not going to read the story. So I'm going to kind of sum the story up briefly, and then I'm going to touch on a couple of scriptures. So if you get a chance and if you have a desire, go home and read from 1 Samuel 9. And that's the story of Saul, and then it turns into David's story. But Saul, this incredible man, he was a handsome man, he was tall, he was good-looking, and according to the word, he was a good man. And eventually got selected as a king. God chose him to be a king. Samuel went to go and say, listen, this is what God is saying. You need to be a king over the Israelites. Ach, and he started out really good as a good man. Winning battles, hearing from the Lord, serving, and there was an incredible success. And he was 30 years old when he became king, and he served for about 42 years. And in that 40 years, incredible success. Won most of the battles, and he became very popular, very famous, obviously got a bunch of plunder or gold and cattle and sheep and everything that they took from the other armies. And after 40 years, something started happening to Saul, and things got a bit shaky. And it was evident that things were coming shaky as a result of his actions and what was happening on the scenes. You see that he started making silly oaths to his people, and he said, listen, if you don't do this, I'm going to make sure that this is going to happen. And he started doing silly things. He started doing stupid things, making bad decisions. And you can't really see too much what is happening behind the scenes of Saul. But you can see quite a lot, according to the story, what was happening on the scenes. And he wasn't in a place where he was willing to follow God's instruction. He disobeyed Samuel. He didn't wait for Samuel. And there's one moment where Samuel said to them, Saul, listen, this is what the Lord is saying. This is his instruction. Go to the Amalekites and destroy everything. And this is just an example or a principle, but this was what happened in the story. Destroy everything. This was the instruction of the Lord. And he went to the Amalekites, and it was battle, but he didn't destroy everything. He kept the king, and all his people said, listen, but this plunder is incredible. This gold, this cattle, the sheep, we've got to keep this. And then things started going haywire with Saul. And I'm going to quickly just read a scripture, and I catch myself there quite often, and we're going to get to the point of why I'm saying what I'm saying, because in line with Christoph's word last week, I want to touch on one area, and there's many areas that is going to help us when it comes to spiritual disciplines. These poles and these wires that is helping this tree to flourish, to bear fruit. But one of the areas that I'm convicted in and that I just want to share this morning is what is happening behind the scenes. And the behind the scenes is, you know, I'm in the car and driving wherever I'm driving and I'm alone. Or in the morning before I start work, these are the behind the scenes that not everyone is seeing, but I'm experiencing, and my Lord possibly also. And there's many behind the scenes moments with my family. How does it look? You guys don't see me 5 days a week, 7 days a week. You don't know how it looks with my behind the scenes. I can come and give a nice sermon here and read beautiful scriptures and good language. But what is happening behind the scenes? And clearly with Saul, things were happening behind the scenes. And as a result of that, on the scenes, things were falling apart. And this was one of the things that was on the scenes where it said, so this was after he destroys the Amalekites. He got this instruction, annihilate everything. And there's a reason why God said that. It wasn't just the testing of the heart, although that's what happened also. Saul was tested. His heart was tested. God gave him an instruction and said, do this. And there was a lot of plunder, a lot of stuff that he had to say no to. Oh, I'm going to put this aside. Why? Because God said so. Didn't make much sense. And this is what happened when he disobeyed. It's in 1 Samuel 15 from verse 19. And I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures. You can write it down and read it on in full context later if you like. So he disobeyed, and this is what Samuel and them was talking about. It says, why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for the plunder and do what is evil in the Lord's sight? He had got used to this, and he was in this lifestyle, this rhythm of rushing to what this that had to offer him. And then he realized, he says, yo, listen, I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong. And Samuel replied, but what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings or your sacrifices or what you can bring to the Lord, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than anything that you can bring to him. And Saul's in this position now where he's realizing, yo, weet jy, dinge gaan verkeerd hierso. I'm wrong, I'm sinning, it's bad, I made a mistake. And we all know that, we do that, but listen, this is his attempt of repentance. He says, then Saul admitted to Samuel, yes, I have sinned. I have disobeyed your instruction and the Lord's command, for I was afraid of the people and what they demanded. So this was his motive. Now, for 42 years of being king, there was this lifestyle of greed, according to the scriptures, lifestyle of loving power, lifestyle of loving being known and acknowledged for who he was. And now this was in jeopardation. He was in a position where he was going to be exposed. And he said, yeah, I was afraid of the people and what they demanded. And later he said, again, listen, Samuel, in verse 30, I know that I've sinned. So he's acknowledging it. But listen to his motive. But please, at least honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel so that I can come back. And there was this kind of this self-centered, loving the stuff, the plunder that was so part of his kingship for 40 years, and it was part of his lifestyle. And the Lord tested him and said, listen, destroy everything. Oh, And obviously from there, Saul went down, and it says there that the Spirit of the Lord left him, and there was a tormenting spirit that came to him. And that's where David came onto the scene. Because the Lord was said, listen, this guy Saul, he cannot be a king any longer. And he said to Samuel, Samuel, there's a guy in Bethlehem. Go. And we all know the story. Go there, you'll find him. Anoint him with oil because he will be the king. And from there it just got worse and worse with Saul. And we don't read what was happening behind the scenes, but we see on the scenes it just got worse and worse and worse. And then David comes onto the scene. And please listen, if you teach your children about David, he's not a scrawny little pipsqueak. He's, according to the scriptures, this man of valor, also a handsome man, according to the scriptures, with beautiful eyes. This rugged guy that was a shepherd that clubbed down bears and killed lions. Now, that's not the little scrawny little pipsqueak that I see in the Sunday school stories. It was so please teach your children that he was a warrior. He was a ruthless man, and that wasn't scared. And anyways, obviously, we know the story. Samuel goes to Bethlehem and goes through all the brothers and says, listen, these nice-looking, good-looking guys doesn't mean anything. The Lord looks at the heart. And Samuel rocks in, and he sees David coming in. He's the last brother. He gets called. He said, listen, all these sons, they're not the one. Don't you have another one? Yeah, man, he's in the field. He's just that shepherd guy. Listen, in die bokveld, die skaap ouens, is hy baie gewildie hoor. Genuine. Like if you're saying it's a shepherd there, all right. So that was David, and there he was in the field, and he came in, and Samuel just knew God said to him, "This is the guy, anoint him." And in that time, being anointed was really a reality that you knew that you were king. They didn't use it like we use it, just oil, anointed, separated for God's purpose. It was for one reason. He was anointed. If you were anointed, it was because you will be king. And he walked in there, anointed. He's probably, what is going on here? Kan nie wees nie. Die man is mal. Ek weet nie. Obviously not, but he was a prophet. And he comes onto the scene. Now, we know the story of Goliath, where his brothers is out to battle. This guy's anointed, but he's sent back to the field and he's shepherding. I wonder what he was thinking in the field. Like, hey, How is this going to work out for me? I've just been anointed for this incredible purpose. And my dad sends me back to the field. Dock up, and there he carries on. And later his dad says to him, listen, David, please come in. Go send food to your brothers there in the battlefield. And he goes and he rocks up there and he realizes that something is wrong here. He's hearing this massive giant guy mocking his God. That's what he hears. That was the first thing that he heard. And he's kind of finding out, listen, well, what's going on yet? And someone said, listen, if you kill this guy or if someone kills him, you will get this, this, and this, and your tax will be exempt, and he's getting all these rewards. And he goes to the next guy and said, listen, is it real? Is it true? But that wasn't his reason of why he went and why he decided to even confront this massive giant. And I just want to quickly read it, because what I'm getting to here is it's an incredible story. If you're reading 1 Samuel from 9 onwards and you're reading it and you're seeing all these on-the-scenes moments, because here's another on-the-scene moment where David is going to confront Goliath. But then if you go to look at the behind-the-scenes moment, it's all there in Psalms. And you could see how David was in his behind-the-scene moment, how he was with his God. And as a result of the way that he was with his God in all these Psalms, you see why David was like he was on the scene. And this was his heart. And it's incredible. It's in 1 Samuel 17. And it's the very popular story of David and Goliath. We know it all, but I'm going to quickly read it for us. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." God of heaven's army. Hey. Who you have defied. So he heard that this guy was cursing his God that he spent so much time with in his on-the-scenes moment. And he loved his God. And here was a guy that was defying his God. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world will know, and this is David's heart, and the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. What was Saul's heart? Please, just acknowledge me before the elders. I just want to be seen by the people. What was David's heart? The whole world will know that there is a God, and he's the God of Israel. And everyone will assemble there, everyone who is assembled there, and there was a lot of people. It was a massive battle, and everyone there will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give it to us. And so we kind of, and if you read the story, there is so many on-the-scenes moments with Saul and with David. And there was probably many reasons why it unfolded like this, but I want to say one of the main is because what was happening behind the scenes. And Saul became very jealous, obviously, because here's a young guy, also good-looking, beautiful eyes, but there was something different. And people saw that, and they knew that. And they saw David's heart, and they heard this. And as a result of the spirit within David, he was successful in everything that he did. It says there over and over in the scriptures, he won the battles because he was close to the Lord. Everything that he put his hand to, he was successful because he was with the Lord. And so these scriptures is over and over in there, and Saul became furious. And later, David was working under Saul. You know the story. And this mad king got worse and worse and worse. Things became very unstable with King Saul. Very jealous, and many times tried to kill David. He said, "Met hierdie ou, ek gaan nie ver kom met my mense nie. Hulle gaan vir hom kyk. They're going to look to him and not to me. So I'm going to get rid of him." And Saul became an incredible spear thrower. So he had a spear with him, and he was a good spear thrower. And he tried to pin David a few times. Now listen, with me, and how that relates to me and us possibly, is when behind the scenes is not in place, on the scenes looks like Saul, we become very good spear throwers. And that's in intense ways, but in also everyday life stuff. And you know, I want to give you an example of a spear throwing. It's I don't know about you, but when you are driving in your vehicle and your wife is driving next to you, and you are going into a parking lot, and there's a lot of parking everywhere, and you decide, I'm going to park here, like this. And she says, "Hoekom, wat maak jy? Why are you parking there?" I don't know. Do you guys experience it also? Do you get this? No, luister, it's a real thing. In that moment, I want to sow a spear. I want to pierce. I want to respond in such a way to let you know that, listen, I'm in control here. I know where to park my car. I've been doing it for many years. And it sounds funny and light, but sure, the offense in my heart of such a small, stupid thing that I could pick up a spear and attack and throw and try pin is not only in a car, but it's with my family. It's in the midst of my everyday. Look at yourself and ask, how often am I throwing spears as a result of what is in my heart? And at most times, as a result of the behind the scenes, That is not in place. And what was David doing in the midst of the spear throwing? He became an incredible spear dodger. He did. He dodged it all the time. But listen, he wasn't this scrawny little pathetic young boy that we see in the photos. He was killing bears and lions. Now, if I was him, I'd probably look at Saul and say, "Laser, Omer, Kenny for me." And I know how to work a spear. I've been doing it with the sheep in the fields for many years. But he didn't. He became a spear dodger. Why? Well, we'll see why. But because something in David loved his Lord. And something in David saw that whether he likes it or not, God chose this man. As Demachar, as mad as he was, he honored his God. So he didn't kill this guy. Not because he didn't deserve it, or no, because he honored his God. But because his behind the scenes moments with his God was his enough. And as a result of that, the on the scenes moment, he did the right thing. Now that happened for quite some time, even to the point where David fled. Wilderness to. Because this mad king would try and kill him, try pin him, and then say, "Yes, I'm sorry, I don't know what's going on. Please can you play me some music again? This tormenting spirit, it's not going well with me at the moment." And even to the point where David fled, and he's out into the mountains. And there he goes. And Saul's men is hunting him down with the dogs and trying to get him. Why? Because he became popular and because he got the attention of the people. And Saul, in his rhythm of life, was being stolen from him. This idea of plunder, the stuff, the idea of the fame, the idea of this rhythm, I need to get rid of that guy. And so David fled for 13 years from Saul. 13 years. Not just a bad weekend, not just a tough time, muti dear. For 13 years, he fled. And in the midst of that 13 years, experienced many things. But if you look in that time, and I'm going to read a couple of those scriptures, that time of fleeing for 13 years, the behind-the-scenes moments with his God in Psalms is incredible. Go read Psalms. Go read what he's saying as he's spending time with his God. Then you can understand how it was possible for a man like David to do what he did on the scenes of everyday life. And with Christoph's message, I'm asking, okay, Brett, what is it? What do I need to cut out? How do I need to change my lifestyle? How do I need to? And there is definitely things. But I think the most crucial thing that I need to do is, how is my behind the scenes looking with my God? Where am I at with my God? Am I a Saul? Am I a David? And again, you know, David was in a cave and Saul was chasing dogs and all. Sorry, that wasn't intentional. Where there was dogs there with Saul, and anyways, and Saul goes into a cave and David and his men is there and. And the men is saying, "Listen, it's your time. Take him. He's been chasing you for so many years, trying to take your life. I think God has placed him in your hands now where you can just finish it all." And you can imagine running away, living in the wilderness, eating, according to the scriptures, you know, tree roots and dirty water. And it wasn't ideal. The frustration levels, the challenges, it's just, ek is klaar met hierdie besigheid. And here he is in your hands. And all your men is saying, I think God did this work. I think God placed him in your hands. Take his life." And what does David do? Well, he took a bit of the robe, and then it says his conscience started bugging him. No, I can't do this. This is the Lord's chosen one. Regardless of what he's doing or not doing, I can't do this. I can't take his life. He's God's chosen one. And he goes and he runs out and he says to Saul from far, he said, listen, Saul, I wanted to take your life. My men even said I should, but I can't because you are Lord's chosen one. Now, why would he do something like that? Because his behind-the-scenes moments were so beautiful that he feared and he honored his God above all else. And he did the right thing, regardless of the circumstances. Regardless of the pressure of this world, regardless of the frustrations and the difficulties, regardless of anything that was influencing David, because of his behind-the-scenes moments, he did the right thing. And that happened a few times. That happened a few times where David could have taken his life again, and then he went on. And and I'm asking myself, sure, how does my behind-the-scenes moments looking? And a good way to answer is, how's your on-the-scenes moments looking? And I just want to read a couple of the scriptures just to finish off of how's David's behind-the-scenes moment looked with his God. And I wish we could see what Saul's looked like, but I don't think it's necessary. So, if you go read in Psalms, it's all there, and it kind of says where David was while he was writing this, and it's very pretty. So, Psalm 142, this was while he was busy fleeing from Saul, this 13 years of running away, struggling with circumstances, eating bad food, living in caves. This is where he was when he wrote this, or this was recorded, him and his time, these behind-the-scenes moments. I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before him and tell him all my troubles. When I'm overwhelmed, you alone know the way that I should run, wherever I should go. My enemies have set traps for me. I look for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. Then I pray, O Lord, I say, you are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life. Hear my cry, for I am very low. Rescue me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of this place, of this prison, so that I can thank you. The godly will crowd around me, for you are good to me. This was while he was busy fleeing from Saul. I don't know how you guys respond when you're in a very tough time, but this is how David did. Then Psalm 63. This is still while he's in the wilderness. It's not going well with him. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I've seen you in your sanctuary and I've gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you and the songs of your joy. I will lie awake thinking of you, Lord, meditating on you though the night, because you are my helper. Then Psalm 51. And David also made mistakes. Just as Saul made mistakes, David also did. And this was David's attempt of repentance. And hear the difference in heart. While he acknowledged his sin and realized what had happened, this was his response. And this was the behind-the-scene moment with David. Have mercy on me, O Lord. And this is when he was with Bathsheba and that whole story where he slept with her. And have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stains of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I have recognized my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone I have sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment in my mother's womb conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom ever there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stains of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. And this is the part that got me. This was his motive. Do not banish me from your presence. And don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. He had seen this with Saul. He had seen a man that was in a position and also made mistakes, but desired and was scared of what the people would say, and desired and was scared what he could have lost, and wanted the plunder, the stuff, the rhythm of this world above all else, and was taken away from God's presence. And for David, that was his enough. I just want to be here in your presence, because out of this behind the scenes moments, so be it, however the on-the-scenes moment. Look, and in the last one, Psalm 18, and this was after he was rescued. You know, in the wilderness, he was given over to Saul, and things happened where he was just in the nick of time, got out of wherever he got out of, and he wasn't killed by Saul. Psalm 18, I love you, O Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power who saves me, and my place of safety. I called on the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. The ropes of death entangled me. Floods of destruction swept over me. The grave wrapped its ropes around me. Death laid a trap in my path. But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears. And so we are, and you can just read all the Psalms. You can kind of just see, yeah, this is what David did in his behind the scenes, in his time. Now, he didn't drive around cars and drive to work and walk through an orchard, but all these behind the scenes moments, what are we doing with that time? And this is where I was challenged also from last week's sermon. When I'm not busy, I make sure that I am busy, and it could just be flicking through a phone. It could be thinking of 100 things or trying to speak on the phone while I'm driving in a car so that I can sort something out and that the plunder can be more. Or am I taking these moments, these behind-the-scenes times, and saying, yeah, Lord, I really want to be close to you. I need you. I long for you. And I think we heard it in testimonies here. I don't want to constantly try to make plans to try get out where I am, because Saul did that too. He was found in a position where he wasn't sure what to do. And it's a long story. I wish I could read it, but instead of doing what David did, it is running to the Lord and saying, listen, you are enough for me. It's all I need. He said, I've got to make a plan here, because I'm going to go see a seer. And he went to the seer, this one that told fortunes, and that was his result. I'm going to make another plan here. I have to do something. Ek kan nie net op die Here wag nie. And we've heard it this morning with the testimonies, and we see it in David's life. And you know the story of David, how it goes on, and the kind of king that he was, a man after God's heart, for sure, for two reasons. He received God's Spirit, yes. But then in his time, it is quite clear, according to the Psalms, that he was close to God, and that he made effort to stay close to God. These struts and these wires that go through this spiritual disciplines of spending time with God alone, in His Word, in worship, alone, speaking to His King, sharing His troubles, His anger, His difficulties, His joys, His everything, but doing it with His God. Oh, and what a man. What a man. And the fruit of it is quite clear. Not only for David, but for the whole of Israel and the kingdom of Judah after that, and us sitting here today. As a result of David's heart, us sitting here where we can say, sure, you know, I know my King. And that was the fruit of David's behind-the-scenes moments, or it was part of it. And I'm sitting here and I'm asking myself, sure, how does mine look? And I wanna end off in a time of prayer, if it's okay, Joe, can you? And because personally, my behind-the-scenes moment right now is a bit shaky. And I think one of the greatest fears that I've ever had and still have and will continue to have is, and I don't know if anyone is exempt from it, but is one of the greatest fears is to be a man that loved God and later turned into a Saul. Because according to that, that's possible. And I'm scared that the rays of this world, the rhythm of this world, will do that if I do not manage it with grace, with wisdom, with God's help, with the body of Christ. And if I don't do that, it's what's keeping me from becoming a Saul? And so, if it's okay, Vas Albino, Lizelle Albi, kan ek asseblief vra, nê? Ek wil eintlik my vrou hier opbring, want sy ken my spiese. Ek gooi lekker spies, hoor. And it's as a result of my unstable behind the scenes moment with my God. And I just, if it's okay, as you guys can come and pray for me and my wife and my family. And if there's anyone else that feels, yes, in my behind the scenes moments isn't what it is or should be, because I'm seeing it on the scenes, then allow the body to pray for you. I need prayer. I want my behind-the-scenes moment to be like David's. I want to be so close to Him that He is my enough. And men, I just need to say this. We need to provide for our wives for sure and create a security, but there's nothing more that gives more security than if I'm spending time with my God and she's resting in me because of my time with God. That is the greatest provision, the greatest security that I can give my wife. Yes, I need to provide and make sure, but the greatest security is when she knows, listen, he's been spending time with his God. He's making decisions in line with his behind-the-scenes moments with his God. This is an incredible security that we can provide for our wives and women. So please, men, make sure that that is in place. Your wife will find security there. She will find rest. And then I need prayer. And Albie and Lizelle, if you could pray for us, please. And if there's anyone else that desires prayer in line with what we heard last week and in line with Saul and David, come to the front and allow the body to pray for you. And if you see that someone's in front and they desire prayer and you're sitting there, come and pray for them, please, if that's okay. Asseblief. En dan kan ons maar as ons klaar is, dan kan julle koffie gaan drink of huis toe gaan en die weer geniet.